Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Unaffiliated Individuals Mobilization Working Party call taking place on Wednesday, 26th of August 2020 at 1600 UTC. On our call today on the English channel, we have Roberto Gaetano, Maureen Hilliard, Cheryl Langdonor, Gopal Tadepalli, Susan Marukian, David Mackey, Bill Juris, Laura Margolis, Joanna Kulesha, Sarah Kidden, Judith Hellerstein, Hanan Khatib, and Ellen Greenberg. We don't have anyone on the Spanish channel and no one on the French channel for now either. And Natalia Filina has just joined us as well. We have received apologies from Nadira El Araj and Carlos Raul Gutierrez. And from staff side, we have Gisela Gruber, Alperen Eken, and myself, Yeshim Nazlar, on call management. As you know, we have Spanish and French interpretation, and our Spanish interpreters are Lilian and Paula, and French interpreters are Isabelle and Claire. And before we get started, just a kind reminder to please state your names before speaking, not only for the transcription, but also for the interpretation purposes as well, please. And now I would like to leave the floor back over to you, Roberto. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Yeshim. So let me ask if there are any proposals for changing something in the agenda. I have one myself. Okay, so hearing none, I go ahead. I have been advised that it's good to have a short explanation on how we are we have formed the group and why do we have ex officio members and participants. And so I will first of all give a short update on the situation. We have only a couple of situations pending. Euralo has not officially appointed their members, the unaffiliated individual member and the ALS member. And Lacralo has appointed people, but they are not all yet on the mailing list. And I am confident that in a couple of days, those small items still pending will be solved. So, as it was explained, I'm not sure if everybody participated to the previous call or to the discussion on the mailing list. We have three members per RALO that are officially appointed, one from the RALO leadership, one for the unaffiliated individuals, and one from the ALS members. On top of that, we have participating to this working Party, the ELAC chair, and then Alan Greenberg is ex officio as chair of the parallel, I would say, working party, the ILS mobilization working party that is about to finish their work. And Cheryl Langdonor, for his former chair, who has an excellent historical perspective and is aware of all the things that have happened up to now, and so therefore could be a good help in minimizing the risk of doing mistakes. So I would like to have these three people say briefly a few words. So Maureen, Alan, and Cheryl, can we start with Maureen?
Thank you very much, Roberto, and that's Maureen for the record. Good morning from me. Thank you so much for joining this group. For me, this activity tops off our implementation activities from the at-large review, which we began 4 years ago. So 4 years down the track, we're onto our last activity. So it's important to at-large from that perspective. But also, it follows on from, as Roberta mentioned, that important review that was done under Alan Greenberg, which helped to clarify our criteria and expectations for the ALSs with regards to mobilising our members into action to carry out the work that at large is mandated to do. I just want to say thank you very much to Roberto for leading this group, and I thank you all for being part of this working party, and I'm really looking forward to being part of your sessions and to seeing the development of the work that we want to do with regards to just clarifying some the status and issues for unaffiliated individual members within that large. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Maureen. Alan, would you like to say a couple of words from your perspective?
Sure. Thank you, Roberto. I guess I bring a number of views into this meeting, and I hope some of them will be useful. I was involved in writing the last set of rules for at-large in general. It goes back to 2007, as was Cheryl, probably to a large extent than me. I think the two of us did the final editing of all of those. I've just been almost finishing chairing the ALS mobilization group, and there's a fair amount of overlap between the two, and it's important that we not introduce any conflicts as we go forward. I was also the chair of the ALAC for 4 years during the largest expansion of unaffiliated members to the other RALOs, because originally only North America had them. And I think I have the distinction of being the first and longest standing individual unaffiliated member. I started with At Large just before RALOs existed and was part of the formation of the North American RALO as an unaffiliated member. And I think I hold the distinction of being the longest standing one. And I have a pretty good idea of why we think they're a good thing. And of course, I was also heavily involved in, as the chair of the ALAC at the time, in the at-large review, where we were pushing individual unaffiliated members in addition to ALSs. Some of you may know there was a rather tumultuous at-large review where the external reviewers recommended some rather radical changes that we managed to change to something we think is implementable, and thus this group exists. So I think it'll be an interesting group, and I hope I can add some perspective from a number of different views into it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And Cheryl, would you like to say a couple of words? Thank you.
It'll be my pleasure. Thank you very much, Roberto. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. I bring a couple of things in here as the additional ex officio member to Maureen and Alan. And, of course, just so we're all clear, ex officio members serve as a resource for you all. But, of course, we have no, whilst we, subject, of course, to the chair's discretion, can be asked to speak and have whatever normal rights and privileges of interaction and consensus building go on in this group, if anything ever came to any form of consensus call / polling, we wouldn't have a particular role in that. So we have no influence on any counting that may or may not go on in your decision-making processes, just so we all know what ex officio means. That said, I certainly act as that historical resource, Roberto, for you all. And that's because, of course, I was chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee when the initial At-Large review went on. And it was at that point that the whole concept of having harmonisation across all of the regional At-Large organisations came to pass to allow unaffiliated individual members to join, because at that stage the only regional group that had that built into their system was in fact the North American RALA. So I have that. I additionally was once nicknamed, but I wore it with pride, the Queen of Process. So as Alan mentioned, we have a fairly deep understanding of all of the arcane arts of bylaws and rules of procedure, both those in past and those in present usage. But most importantly, I assume that your group will be coming up with some things that may indeed be criteria and things that you may wish to measure or to establish that people do or do not meet as their criteria. And that, of course, puts things firmly into then, once your work is over, the care and management of the metrics subcommittee of the At-Large Advisory Committee, and I am deeply engaged with that. So there's that facilitation and liaison of information across all of those working parts. Thank you, Roberto.
Thank you, Cheryl. I would like to have just to say a couple of things related to the discussion that that is going on the chat, and I understand that is probably it is not clear how the membership is selected, appointed, elected, whatever. So we will have for each RALO one person that comes from the ALAC leadership, one person that is an unaffiliated individual, and another person that is an ALS member. So we decided to have this in order to have a representation from the individuals, a representation from the ALS members, and representation from the leadership. This, I would not worry too much at this point in time if not all the regions have these three people officially appointed, because in any case we can start working, and this working group, working party, sorry, is in any case open to everybody who wants to join. provided that they do their expression of interest, that they fill in the GDPR required form, and so on. But once these formalities have been done, then they can join the group and participate to everything. The only difference is if in one special case we need to go to a vote, then the vote will be only will be restricted to only these members. The reason is that if we leave the vote open, there's the possibility that one region is overrepresented and other regions are less represented, and that will not ensure a balance. However, I anticipate that there will be rare cases in which we will need to take a vote, if any. We will try to go on by consensus for every decisions that that we make. So therefore, there shouldn't be a problem or a concern related to the vote. So I see Alan has his hand up. So Alan, you have the floor, and obviously just raise your hand if you have comments on this.
Yeah. Alan. Thank you, Roberto. Roberto, you went to Maureen, me, and Cheryl for intro, but you didn't give an introduction of yourself, so I'll do that, since you're obviously too bashful to do it. Just for those who don't know, Roberto has been around at large since the very beginning in 2003. He was an ALAC member. He was the ALAC liaison to the board. He was then an actual formal board member appointed by the NOMCOM. So he has vast experience both in at-large and from a board perspective approving the rules associated with at-large. So I just think that that's important. Not everyone is as old as I am. Thank you, Roberto.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. So let's go now to the real work. The first thing that I would like to say is I would like to start with looking at the role that the individuals have, and start the discussion on what are the requirements that we want to have for those individuals. One important bit of information is the table that staff has prepared, and maybe we can just as work progresses maybe work on this table and see in particular, if there are certain things that are applied in one region that maybe the other regions think now that it would be a good idea to apply for them as well. Why am I saying this? Because, as a matter of fact, for the individuals, each RALO has worked on its own. So the five regions, we have quite different approaches. This is not a problem. It really shows also cultural differences between among regions. But maybe there are certain things that we could revise, and maybe if there are certain things, if it's good to have certain things that are common to each RALO, so that we revise a bit the way the role for the individuals is designed. I'm just quoting one example. One example is about how individuals apply. There are two differences, for instance, between North America and Europe, where in Europe we have a process with a due diligence and so on, and whereas that goes fairly, how can I say, fairly in depth. Whereas, for instance, in Naralo, the process of accepting individuals is much easier and is basically once the conditions of residency or nationality are ensured and is not and the person is not a member of an accredited at-large structure, that is sufficient without going into any other procedural or bureaucratic burden. So this is something is just an example. It's fine if different RALOs have different procedures, but maybe we should if we want to really mobilize the unaffiliated individuals. The question is, are there any necessary conditions that we need to add so that, or any support that we decide we need to provide to the individuals so that their participation is more effective for ELA, for at large. So, I see already one hand up. David, you have the floor.
Hi, David Mackey for the record. Thanks, Roberto. As quite often, Roberto, I tend to have questions. So I have a question that I'd like to just ask about the word, to make sure that there's clarity and common understanding about the word that you used called mobilization. Can you help me understand and maybe help the possibly a broader conversation if there's any other clarification needed about when you use the word mobilization, and it's used in the context of unaffiliated individual members, but also within ALS. Can you just help me understand the broad sense of what you're talking about with mobilization? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the question, David. It's actually a very good question because too often we use words and then different people have a different understanding of what that means. So this is Roberto for the recording, by the way. I can tell you what I mean by that, and then maybe if people have a different idea, especially for instance, if Maureen, as ALAC chair, has a different idea, it will be very good if you, Maureen, if you correct me. But the way I interpret this mobilization is in the way we can favor the participation of individuals. So that means what are the conditions for the participation, but that means also how we are going to develop strategies for outreach. It means also how we can support their participation in terms of providing tools for learning tools. Also, how we keep an updated information about the skills that the individuals have, so that when we have a certain working group that starts on a specific topic, we can reach out to the individuals that have skills that could be useful for that working group. I mean, all these things are done. Joanna, who is on the call, for instance, is dealing a lot with webinars and training for people, and we need to figure out specifically for individuals how we are going to maybe develop certain specific training and so on. Also for outreach, there's a subcommittee for outreach. This is those are all things that we are doing, but the question is, since up to now the key was the key concern was on ALS, we need to figure out whether the moment that we have unaffiliated individuals, we need to take also a different point of view. For instance, the skill set. This is very important. Unaffiliated individuals can come from very diverse situations and with very diverse experiences. And their skills could be extremely helpful in the work that we are doing here. But we need to have a more not necessarily formal, but more controlled approach, making sure that we are not forgetting things because we never formalized them or we never wrote them in a checklist. So that is how I understand the mission of this group working party is. I see Alan Greenberg with his hand up. Alan, you have the floor, and please, if you have questions or comments, feel free to voice them out, because this is, as a matter of fact, a fundamental. We need to have agreement on what this working party will be doing before we start going in the wrong direction. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you very much. I guess this is one of the times I'll put my historical hat on, although some of the history is very recent. One of the reasons we use the term mobilization here is to show the parallelism between this group and the ALS mobilization group. And they're the two prongs, the two parts of how do we get more active workers that came out of the at-large review. So there's the parallelism that they're two similar things that have to be done in parallel for this to work properly. The term mobilization was used for the ALS group because we've had ALSs since the beginning of the current at-large, which now goes, it's almost 18 years at this point. But in many cases, these ALSs were not doing what we originally envisioned ALSs would do. That is, give us their members so that we have a large pool of people on the ground in each country. So that's why we used the term mobilization there. It was really to mobilize the ALSs and make sure they were capable of meeting the original objective of having ALSs. And to some extent, the same has been true for individual members. We've had individual members in North American RALO for 14 years now, and we've had individual members in other groups for a shorter amount of time, but nevertheless. But some of those people, although they were individual members in name, they aren't active. They aren't doing things. And just having the glory of having the name is not enough. We really want to get people to be more active and more participatory. And so, again, the term mobilization is a reasonable one in that case. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I see Maureen asks for the floor. Maureen, please go.
Thank you, Roberto. And Maureen, for the record, I just want to add on to what you've both said, which I totally agree with. For at large, I sort of see that, you know, the purpose of this whole direction of mobilizing all of our members, once we've clarified the objectives, you know, for both the ALS and individual members, it's really so that we can, so that once we've clarified it within at large, the people who sort of like join up have a better understanding. We can actually give them a better understanding of what it is that we actually expect of them once they join up with us, and so that we can better do the work that we're mandated to do. I think that, I just have to agree with everything that both Roberto and Alan have said, especially about mentioning the skills and the experience that individuals bring, whether they're from ALSs or as individual members, and how they can help what we're doing within at large. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Maureen. Are there any other questions on or comments on this? Well, if not, I would go to the table and see how the different RALOs have so far interpreted the role of the individuals and what are the requirements. However, before doing this, I see the hand of Gopal. Gopal, you have the floor.
Hello, everyone. This is Gopal Tadepalli from India. I am in Chennai, and it has been my pleasure to interact with so many good professionals from ICANN all over. And I confirmed my membership, ICANN at Large membership, way back in April 8, 2000. And it's very nice that ICANN was able to track all those formal documents, a letter from ICANN and everything. We did some work on internet governance for the government of Tamil Nadu. We wanted to have the event Apricot with APNIC. However, there are so many other constraints way back in 2000. Then I was with the Internet Governance Forum. It is something which is very, very important, and the individuals are the best to make localization happen in a manner where we practice jurisprudence. We also practice the way in which internet should be leveraged for the betterment of the community with due regards to the global leadership. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. So let's go now to the table. The The first thing that I would like to note is that there are things that are common. My suggestion would be to ask staff to keep track while we review this table, to keep track of what we have in common already for the different regions, and what are the differences, and whether there are certain proposals to use certain processes for all RALOS, whether it would be a good idea. So the first thing that that we can note is that in all the RALO, for the criteria for accreditation are fairly there are some identical things. I believe that those are in any case, requirements by our bylaws, but I'm not 100% sure. But for in every region, the unaffiliated individual must be a permanent resident of the region, or being having a nationality of one of the countries of the region, cannot be a member of an ALS. That means you cannot be at the same time a member of an ALS and an unaffiliated individual. And you have to be subscribed to the regional mailing list. So those are common to all the regions, and I believe that this is something that is mandated anyway. In Europe, we accept observers that are that fail to meet the requirement about the nationality or the residency. This is I can explain why this has been historical case. In the South Caucasus, Armenia, Georgia, Azerbaijan are countries that are very close, in particular Armenia, very close to Europe, and that people are very much interested to what happens in Europe. And so they are eager to participate to the discussions that happen in Europe. And as a matter of fact, I believe that Narin is one of those person who is an observer as an unaffiliated individual, but with observership in Uralo. And that was the reason why we have opened this possibility. Now, there are other situations potentially in the world. I'm sure you know that, for instance, territories in other geographical regions that are historically or that are part of a European country. I mean, France has overseas territories and overseas departments. in the Americas and in Africa. Those territories are by according to the ICANN recognition of countries, those are allocated in Europe. So the people from one island that is in the Americas, that is a French territory, should belong to Euralo, even if, as a matter of fact, that person is much more connected with the other islands that are surrounding it, that are located, for instance, in the Lac region. So this is something that we should we could discuss whether this is a good idea that we propose to have this option for individuals in every region. So two points I would like to make. So first, do we all agree that this nationality residency not being also a member of an ALS and being subscribing to the regional mailing list, those are mandated, and we can start saying that this is a common basis and that will hold for all the regions. And the second thing is the discussion about whether we could use a form of observership. We allow people to participate in discussion and contribute and being unaffiliated individuals with a special status of observer in a different region. So the floor is open for discussion. I have in this order Gopal, Alan, and Judith asking for the floor. Gopal, please go.
Yes, it is agreeable to me, and it is very nice that we will get professionals as observers from various other regions. Per se, there is no reason to be wary about any at-large structure outside of an individual requirement, as I noted in the chat, that we would rather be identified with the institution. And institutions like Anna University are world-renowned educational institutions, one of those world-renowned institutions. So it's all over Tamil Nadu, and it keeps me busy enough to manage the governance aspects of internet within the institution. I'll be happy to participate. Keep making voluntary contributions to ICANN at large. Thank you.
Thank you, Gopal. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Alfredo asked a question in the chat, which I think is worthy of discussing, and that is, why do we need individual unaffiliated members? Why can't someone just join an ALS? And it's a good question. The answer is, number one, the ALS in your region, maybe most ALSs have some root existence before they became an ALS. So, for instance, the ALS in your region may be heavily involved in internet other aspects of internet governance, and you have no interest in it. It may be an ALS which helps teach school children how to use computers, and that's not something of interest to you. And, of course, an ALS might have a fee to join, and you have no interest in paying that fee. So there may be all sorts of reasons why the local ALSs are really not suited for you. The related question, however, is why do all RALOs have a rule saying you can only be an individual unaffiliated member if you're unaffiliated? You cannot also be an ALS member. And the real answer to that is somewhat arbitrary. Originally, the thought was, well, if you have a vote within an ALS, then you shouldn't have a vote as an individual member. That was true in Naralo, which was the only one with members. On the other hand, there is no prohibition about you being a member of 12 different ALSs in the same region. So, you know, the multiple voting may not really be a valid one, and some regions the individual members don't have a vote anyway. So that's one of the things we could discuss here. Is being not affiliated with an ALS something that is really important? Is it an arbitrary rule? Is it simply a way of distinguishing people? That's something which could be on the discussion if we chose to do it. But at this point, it's a rule within all the RALOs. But the history is interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I have a comment on this, but let's go to Judith first. Judith, please go ahead.
Yes, it's Judith Helsing for the record. So, in also talking to Alfredo's question, another thing that Alan had left off is that the politics of that ALS may not be something that you're interested in. And I know particular occurrences where a particular ALS was that you may have been affiliated with was you feel that you could not get your ideas across, or they were not listening to you, or that you felt that you had that the only way you can get ideas across would be to come out as an individual. That's also a thing, and there's also a lot of situations where the person, just like in any other organization, one person has different, very different views than another group, and is an outlier in that group. And as we're trying to gain consensus, it's a lot easier. It's easier for to be clear who's talking in the name of what. So whether it's one ALS talking in the name, or whether it's an individual within that ALS. And so that's also why in Naralo we have suggested to people that either form their own ALS with a different viewpoint that they wanted to get across, or that they become an individual member, and then they can express their viewpoint, which is what they want to get across, and that's what matters to them, that's what concerns them. But I also, originally, why I raised my hand was that I think one of the criteria that you brought up on the observer status, I think, should be voted secondly, because I think it's very different. I don't necessarily agree that, as the case with the island nations, that if you happen to be owned by, like we have in Naralo, we have many territories in the Pacific. We are never going to get them to be Naralo members, nor do we want them to be Naralo, nor will they fit in well. Their culture, a lot of their characteristics, a lot of what they are trying to do, and a lot of the issues are all related to the region where they're located. So they really should belong to the region where they're located. And there was a whole long non-geographic names issue brought up many years ago. And yes, they are territories, and they can't, I can understand the point, they should belong. But we should be able, if they want to, they should be able to be a full member, a full individual member of another ALS, of another region, and not be restricted. So I don't necessarily agree with your observer status by saying French territories that are based in the Caribbean cannot be joined in the Caribbean. I think they should be able to. That's where the relationships are. I know we're not going to change, but then why bring it up? So I think bringing it up just solves the issue and gets into controversy where we don't really want to bring it up. So that's sort of why I commented on the observable status rule that you have.
Yes, Judy, thank you. Your point is taken. However, just a couple of things. In the very beginning, this was not the situation. In the early days of ICANN, the regardless of whether they were territories that belonged to different countries, the location was geographical. The location in Dovalo was geographical. And then at a certain point in time, very early, it changed. It was mainly, and that was an issue that was related to CCTLD because certain of those territories have their own CCTLD. I'm thinking about Guadeloupe and Martinique that are French territories. And they had their own TLDs, and they were obviously not belonging to, not related to Europe for even for all the processes. Anyway, this is we are not going to change that. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this is a case that we already have. With an ALS, we have an ALS that is located in one of those territories that are French, belong to France, and therefore they should be part of Uralo, but in fact they are not interested to be part of Uralo. So anyway, this is something that we can probably discuss on the mailing list where I can maybe point to the example and to the documents so that we have a background. I also because we are 6 minutes away from the end of this call, and I know that there's a subcommittee on outreach that is starting on the top of the hour, and so we cannot really overrun. So maybe we can discuss this on the mailing list. I will provide a little bit of information about those situations. To the point of Alan, if I recall correctly, there was a similar discussion in the ALS mobilization working group, where we sort of discussed, made a distinction in certain cases between a plain member and somebody that is part of the leadership of the ALS. So by extension to this, maybe we can soften this requirement. We can discuss about softening this requirement of not belonging to not being member of an ALS for an unaffiliated individual, saying you cannot be in the leadership of an ALS. The problem is very simple. Somebody might belong to an ALS, but on a specific topic, that person might have a completely different point of view from what, let's put it politely, has a minority position within the ALS. And that person might well participate in a working group expressing his own opinion as an individual, and even if they differ from the opinion of his or her ALS, or at least of the leadership of the ALS. So that could be a reason why we could think about softening this this requirement. Anyway, we are 3 minutes to the close of this call, and there's one important thing that I would like to say. That is that my intention is to work a lot on the mailing list. So this is not a working party that I would like to run only by meeting once a week, most of the work should be done in the mailing list. Also, because when a problem pops up, we can be quick in providing references and URLs to other documents and so on. So please be prepared to dedicate some time in between calls to read the email and to voice out your opinion. This to a minimum extent has happened. I would like to increase the participation on the mailing list as we go on, as we proceed with the work. So are there any thing, any other any point that somebody wants to make? Okay, I for the time being I think that we will go on for the next call again with a doodle poll. Then I was wondering whether once the ALS mobilization working party is finished, which will happen sometimes in September, we can inherit that slot, because most of the people that are in this working party were participating in that other working party, and so that should not be a big disruption. Maybe giving two options, doing like the consolidated policy working group that changes time zone in the same day, so that they're not always the same. It's not always the same geographical region that has calls in the middle of the night. Any other comment? Hearing none, maybe it's time for us to close the call. Can the host, Yeshim, can you please close the recording and close the call?
Sure, Roberto. Thank you. This is Yeshim speaking. Thank you all for joining today's call. This meeting is now adjourned. Have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.